of our listeners.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin, who fought in Vietnam, was trained in special forces, had a training as an assassin. He was a patriotic, hard-fighting soldier and a special forces officer until he became a Christian and began to realize that much of what he had been doing had been inherently wrong. Now, we're going to be talking about Vietnam, about what happened there, about General Westmoreland, but you must understand the background of Vietnam. President Kennedy didn't want to go into Vietnam. He didn't want to involve America in a senseless war, and so he was eliminated. And there's no question he was assassinated, and everything was a cover-up to keep the American people from learning that. All you need to do is look at the course of the magic bullet. There's no way that could have been. If you've ever seen the films of President Kennedy being assassinated, his body goes backward, not forward, and yet we're told that he was shot from behind. And of course, the magic bullet went through President Kennedy and then went through Governor Connally's chest and then through Governor Connally's right wrist and then through his left thigh. And bullets don't travel in that fashion, but this one did. And not only that, but it was a magic bullet, because even though it left bullet fragments, certainly in President Connally and his right wrist and his left thigh, the bullet magically reconstituted itself so that there was hardly any metal gone, and it was found lying there on the gurney with Governor Connally in the Parkland Hospital when he was brought in after President Kennedy had been killed. How could that have happened? It didn't happen. It was part of the lie. But then, of course, after they killed President Kennedy, they did an excuse to go to war. They came up with a phony Gulf of Tonkin incident. It did not exist. It did not take place. They lied to the American people, and 58,000 American boys died. But 1 million South Vietnamese and 2 million North Vietnamese died because of a lie that Robert Strange McNamara arranged to tell to the American people. And then once we got into the war, we weren't allowed to block the harbor at Haiphong to keep the supplies from coming to North Vietnam. We weren't allowed to bomb the harbor. We weren't allowed to bomb the rail lines out of Haiphong, where most of the supplies were coming in. Those were coming up the Mekong River, which was protected so the communists could bring supplies and reinforce the troops who were killing our boys. We weren't allowed to bomb the dikes in North Vietnam and flood the country and end the war. We weren't allowed to bomb the electric plants up there and end the war. We weren't allowed to have sustained bombing of Haiphong, and every time we started to win the war, that stopped it. Our boys were not allowed to attack many of the sanctuaries there in South Vietnam. It was American-built trucks that were carrying the supplies down the Haiphong Trail. Of course, they were made in Gorky. They were Ford trucks. Ford has supplied the equipment for the Gorky plant ever since the days of Lenin. But the American people could never know that we were financing the Russians, who were financing the North Vietnamese, who were financing the Viet Cong, who were killing our boys. It was a phony war, ladies and gentlemen, just like the wars we're fighting in the Near East today. Well, Colonel Marvin, thank you so very much for being with us.
Oh, I'm proud and pleasured to be a part of your broadcast. It's nice to know somebody like yourself who put so much effort into getting the truth out. It's interesting that you mentioned about our forces not being able to bomb certain places or stop certain things from happening. And then yet, our government gave the green light to the enemy to have sanctuaries, safe havens, all along the Cambodian border with Vietnam. And General Westmoreland knew all about that. In fact, in his book, A Soldier Reports, now this is an autobiography, not written by somebody other than him, written strictly by him, and he tells in that book that he was not allowed, he was ordered not to tell the Congress and not to tell the media that our government had given the enemy these sanctuaries inside Cambodia where our men were not allowed to shoot back at them when they shot at our men. That's the kind of war that was going on, and it certainly wasn't meant to be won, except I know in my area we meant to win it, and we did, but I had what they called an independent command, so that once I arrived in the area and I worked with Major Phoi Van Lee of Vietnamese Special Forces and 64,000 Buddhist Wahaos that we were responsible for, we got rapport with those people over there because we were there to help them help themselves. And there was never any doubt in their minds that the special forces that were in their area were there to help them.
And yet, of course, eventually in the end, why our government betrayed them and left them to the tender mercies of the communists who had been financing this whole time. And the Waha, you know, did trust you, and you were doing everything you could. And the Americans who were in Vietnam fought bravely, and they were trying to win the war. But they didn't win. Understand, we didn't go there to win the war. That was the great tragedy. We just went there to fight a war. It was a great diversion, as they were using the diversion of Vietnam to change America, to take God and prayer out of our schools, to find that a woman had a right to an abortion, to centralize all power in Washington, D.C.
Right.
It was a phony war, but the men over there, they never understood it, did they? They thought they were fighting for America.
Well, I would say that every soldier that was on the front line, whether it be a Green Beret or infantry or
artillery. Hold that thought, Colonel. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly we were talking about how bravely our men fought in Vietnam, and certainly that the soldiers believed in the war in Vietnam. Go ahead, Colonel.
Well, we were sent there to help those people to kick the enemy out of their country, which were the Viet Cong. And we were extremely welcome there as compared to Iraq, for example. We didn't worry about roadside bombs because we had 64,000 Buddhist Wahaos in our area. And any time, and it happened often, the enemy would go out and try and plant a roadside bomb. That would be reported to us within minutes of it happening to a local indigenous leader. So that we'd then go out and uncover it and destroy it. So we never had a roadside bomb go off in our area, even though they were planted by the enemy trying to kill us.
And, of course, the Waha were faithful to you. They thought that America, you know, would stand behind them when they were there to help. But, of course, not realizing the people in Washington, D.C., we're not trying to win the war. We were financing the Russians. The Russians were providing the MiG planes and the anti-aircraft batteries and the trucks and certainly the explosives and the munitions and the rifles and everything that the Viet Cong were using to kill our boys.
That's right.
The Americans couldn't understand that. The soldiers couldn't understand that. The people back here at home couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand that you had an anti-Vietnam war, a group that was funded by the same people who were funding the war. Basically, they wanted to control the opposition. It was great. It was a wonderful diversion as they transformed America and used the Supreme Court to take God and prayer out of our schools and destroy the morality of our people and find a woman had a right to an abortion and centralize all power in Washington, D.C. That's what it was all about.
You hit on the most critical item, really. Taking the Bible out of schools, if if somebody were to logically assemble all the facts about the year that the Bibles were taken out of our schools and how the prison population increased after that, how the level of terrible misdeeds, murders and rapes and all that just kept building up and up and up. And then it also just was a start to recognizing some really evil people, or evil disease, I'd say that, and the homosexuals, which the Lord despised. He called it, well, I can't remember the word now, but anything to do with men loving men and women loving women was something that was an abomination. That's what the Lord called it. And our country just keeps going downhill. I worry sometimes, and Dr. Stan, you might comment on this too, if you would. I concern myself with the fact of our country staying with Israel and backing them.
Well, I think that people really must understand that the people who control our government, and that's not the average individual, we have an invisible government, the same people control the invisible government here that control the Israeli government. They're simply being used as pawns in this whole game. They're going to lead us into a war over in the Near East, and then a war in the Middle East, and it's going to have terrible and devastating consequences here at home. In addition, I fear it's going to have terrible consequences for the 200,000 or almost 200,000 soldiers that were stationed in Iraq and in Afghanistan. I think they're being left over there to be destroyed. Many of them will die in this coming unnecessary war, which is all being planned. And basically what people don't understand is there is a force within Israel, just as there is a force within this country, that is motivated by dark spiritual forces that have an agenda that is totally unknown to the average American.
You know, I think that President Eisenhower understood that, and unfortunately he waited to warn the American people until he was out of office and didn't have that much influence over the American people. But he warned us about the industrial complex and how it is running things in Washington just to keep the industries going and producing war supplies and war goods.
Well, of course, the military-industrial complex, this idea has been around for a reason. It was given for the First World War. It was the industrialists, the munitions manufacturers. They made a lot of money in the war, and that's true, but they weren't the reason for the war. And we know what the reason was for the war, because we have a book written by a man who was there when they were signing the peace conference in Versailles, and he actually had an opportunity to talk to the British people. They were known as Milner's Kindergarten. They were part of this little secret society that ran England, that first promoted and then prolonged World War I, and they readily admitted this was all about world government, the white man's burden to bring about this world government. Mm-hmm. But people didn't understand that. That's why we had to have the Second World War. That's what Vietnam and Korea and the current wars are all about. It's all about this secret society, which has its roots in the occult. This is what people don't understand.
Yeah.
That is moving us towards this world government. And we're seeing the fulfillment of prophecy, but the average individual, because they're not looking at the things through the prism of the Bible, just can't see what's going on.
That is so correct. Now, the Bible is the only truthful book that's been published that is 100% the truth. And when our leaders attempt to use that as a source of direction, then they get called down instead of being congratulated for using the right source of witness to determine, you know, the future of this nation. I just can't hardly believe it, Dr. Stan. I remember when I joined the United States Army in June of 1952, it was totally different in those days. There was a very great amount of discipline. We wanted to go to Korea to help the Koreans fight off the North Koreans, And then when the push came to shove and General MacArthur wanted to take that war to the enemy, then he was fired. And you know, that same kind of thing has happened time after time again when we have leaders in a position of authority that decide to protect our nation, to protect our troops, to provide the enemy no safe havens or sanctuaries. He doesn't last long.
No, it's really tragic. People really don't understand really the forces that drive international political situations, and they don't understand what is really going on today, that there's a conscious, organized effort to bankrupt this nation, to use America's military and financial power to bring about this one-world government and eventually destroy America as a sovereign nation and transfer the leadership of the world to other nations as we move towards this new world order. And this new world religion, because a new world religion is such an important part of what is coming down the line.
Oh, absolutely. By any other name, it's not a religion, though. you do have the book about the Bilderbergers, don't you?
Oh, yes. Well, which one now, Chris? Sidney, Phyllis Schlafly, one wrote one many years ago, but then we have Daniel Estulin's recent book on the Bilderbergers.
Well, the most recent one has got so much truth in there about this secret undercover government that really runs things. And I wonder how many of our congressmen or senators have taken the time, much less wanted, to read that book.
Well, actually, Daniel Estulin has another fascinating book, his latest one. Name escapes me right now, but in that foreword to it, he tells about how he was visited by a couple of men who told him they'd like him to stop writing about it, the Bilderbergers, and stop investigating it. And they gave him a check, and he looked at the check. You know, it was signed, but there was no figure on it. And he said, "What is this?" And he said, "It's a check. We just want you to fill out the amount of money that you want, and Sidney, we'll take care of it." And he said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And they said, "You fill it out. You put down any figure you want." And, you know, I guess he must have been a little tempted, but he gave them back the check. Because,
right,
of course, when you figure what's at stake, we're talking about the survival of Christian civilization, he turned down their offer. I know other people have had similar offers. They made one to Alex Jones. I know a man many years ago had actually a copy of the Reese Committee report. And they wanted that report. The last thing they wanted is for the American people to understand that the great tax-exempt foundations, and this was about 1958, the great tax-exempt foundations were financing communism, were financing the move towards world government, were behind, of course, the First World War and the Second World War, and we're talking about Rockefeller, Ford, Carnegie, and of course they couldn't let the American people want. They offered him any sum of money he wanted just so they could get their hands on that report from the Reese Committee, which of course was readily available at that time. They went around and bought them all up and destroyed them. Incidentally, that report is up on the internet now. Charlotte Isabey has put that up. Actually purchased that thing almost 40 years later, 50 years later, and it's up on the internet. And you must understand that the great tax-exempt foundations have been funding this whole movement. In fact, they're the ones who are funding the La Raza, Maldive, LULAC, all of these organizations for illegal immigrants, encouraging illegal immigrants. Why do they want that? Because they want to lower our living standards, because they want to undermine the fabric of our country, because they want to be able to play one group against the other, because they want to create unrest, because they want to encourage crime and bring in the criminal gangs. When you understand that, and of course out of the chaos that will arise, will come the demand for a dictatorship, and that's what they want. That's
Amen.
What they've always wanted.
Instability there is amongst the people, the more power there is at the top.
Amen to that. We're going to be back in just a moment with Lieutenant Colonel Dan Marvin, and we'll open up the lines in the next half hour. Well, Colonel, you go right ahead.
Oh, just talking about the different influences that actually control what we do here in our government. You know, when I commanded that...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Our troops, we couldn't return their fire. Of course, we were allowing them to take their weapons up the Mekong River, and said they were not allowed to inspect the ships going up there. Carrying the weapons are going to be used to kill our boys. The men who were over there fighting and fighting bravely really thought they were fighting for America. They were fighting to win, never realizing it was all a make-believe war. But it was a wonderful, wonderful diversion. And while our attention was focused on what was going on in Vietnam, we were losing our freedom here at home. But you go right ahead, Colonel.
I know one of the things that we concerned ourselves with, Doctor, was all of these foreign ships going up the Mekong River carrying all these weapons and ammunition for the enemy. When they came back down the river, was that the part of the CIA's effort to move drugs out of China and Burma and Cambodia into the United States? That's what we felt. Couldn't prove it because we weren't allowed on the boats when they came back into the United States. And when those ships, I mean, these are big ships, go into Cambodia, we could send two Green Berets and two national policemen, and they go onto the ship, into the control room, and they would be allowed to see the ship's manifest. If the ship's manifest did not say war goods, they were not allowed to inspect the ship. Now, this captain who commanded the A-team that controlled, supposedly, the Mekong River, said that the last one that went through was a Lithuanian ship, and it said 10,000 tons of toys on the manifest. Well, he sent two Green Berets and a number of indigenous, the Buddhist Wahaos he had in his area also, up the river, and he watched them unload an estimated 10,000 tons of weapons and ammunition that would then be used against our forces.
And, of course, they knew in Washington, D.C. what was going on, but they couldn't let the American forces know that they were just being used in a fun game. Only what trouble was an awful lot of good men died in this phony war, and it was a phony war, and it's still a phony war over there in Afghanistan. We're fighting the Al-Qaeda, all 100 of them, and got almost 90,000 men to fight 100 Al-Qaeda, and, of course, the Taliban. Well, certainly the Taliban are attacking our forces, but we're in their country. They never attacked the United States. In fact, we finance the Taliban, and we still finance the Taliban by giving money to the Pakistani government that gives it to their intelligence agency, that gives it to the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, just as Saudi Arabia is financing them, our good friends in Saudi Arabia, and nothing is ever done to cut off the funds to these people. Oh, every once in a while we pretend that they were serious, but that's all political theater.
And they are an intelligent group, our enemy. And, you know, what you mentioned, I haven't heard anybody else mention before, but the Taliban attacks our forces in their countries that are not our responsibility. Our forces are strangers in that country. They're enemy in that country, and they can attack all they want without getting world opinion against them. If they were to come over here and start attacking within the United States, they know that they lose the war in a very short time.
Well, unfortunately, the American people are not allowed to think. The media is controlled. They focus their attention whatever they want us to think about. But the absurdity of having almost 90,000 troops and then another 100,000 contractors in Afghanistan to fight 100 members of Al-Qaeda. Most people, just doesn't seem logical, but they'd just soon not think about that. They'd much rather think about the NBA or Tiger Woods or something,
right.
LeBron James, something like that. But let's not stop and ask, what's really going on in the world today? What lies ahead for America? Because maybe the implications of what lies ahead is too horrible to contemplate. Well, Colonel, certainly you've actually carried out a conscious effort to have something done about General Westmoreland for betraying his troops. As you say, he should have resigned. He didn't have the courage to resign. He fought a no-win war, knowing full well an awful lot of boys were going to die unnecessarily, because he didn't have the courage. If the officers that just say, we're not going to fight this war, we'll give up our commissions, but we're not going to send our boys into a no-win war, the war would have ended. Where was the courage among the senior officers?
There wasn't much, I'll tell you that. Even the Special Forces group commander, and the Special Forces are about the toughest troops that there are, and yet when General Westmoreland personally cut off the supplies coming to...
Hold that thought, we'll be right
yes.
back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin. And you were just saying, of course, that you picked this story up. The General Westmoreland cut off the supplies to your unit?
Yes, it was in August of 1966 when I left my camp and turned it over to the Military Assistance Command Vietnam, and I went in to be the logistics officer, the supply officer for 4th Corps B Team, and I learned almost within 24 hours that we weren't getting any supplies from the huge Saigon depot. Well, we kept on calling them, sending messages to them and radio communications, and we couldn't get any supplies. So I had to actually steal a U.S. Navy landing craft utility, take one other Green Beret, and a whole bunch of, about 30, I think, civilian irregulars. We went down the Baysack River over to the Mekong River, and we actually raided the Saigon Depot. The guards didn't give us any problem. They were scared half to death just seeing a Green Beret. And we went in, and you know, what we were going for was generators, to have lights in the camps, sandbags to protect us against enemy ground, direct ground fire, things of that nature. Well, it turns out we learned the next year when I was back at Fort Lee, Virginia, going through the career course, and I was the president of the class, and Colonel Pikelik was giving the talk, our final talk before graduation. And he had commanded the Saigon Depot at the time that the supplies were cut off. So I asked him, and this was where he was talking to the entire career course. It was a top secret cover on the meeting, and he said he'd take any questions and he'd answer them honestly. So I asked him why his depot quit supplying special forces in the entire 4th Corps area in 1966, in the fall, early fall, August. And he said that General Westmoreland came to his office in Saigon and told him to close his depot to all special forces in 4th Corps until General Quang Van Dang, who commanded all the...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Colonel Marvin was just saying when he was in command of this Special Forces unit right along the Cambodian border, they were risking their lives, and of course they couldn't get any supplies. And eventually, Colonel Marvin did what sometimes you have to do in the military. He commandeered an amphibious vehicle, and went down and simply took the supplies that they needed to protect the lives of his men. But he couldn't understand why they couldn't get the supplies they needed to be able to defend themselves. And a year or two later, when he was actually back in the States, he actually talked to the officer in charge of that supply depot. And what did that officer tell you that General Westmoreland had ordered him to do? I mean, here you've got our men on the front lines are risking their lives. And what did General Westmoreland do?
Colonel Pikelik told us, our whole class, that General Westmoreland had ordered him to cut off resupplying special forces in the 4th Corps until such a time as General Quang Van Dang authorized General Westmoreland to send conventional U.S. forces into the 4th Corps. Now, General Quang Van Dang commanded all the Vietnamese forces in 4th Corps, and he also commanded the units that we advised there. 4th Corps was the only secure corps in all of Vietnam without any American conventional troops because the people were taking care of their own people in that 4th Corps. And so he had to cut off those supplies until General Westmoreland left Vietnam.
In other words, you were going to leave your men there inadequately supplied,
right.
You know, simply to follow one of his whims, that he wanted to be able to force the special forces out and put in his troops under his command. It was already sort of a matter of ego then.
Oh, it was ego. And this is interesting, too, and I hadn't even thought about this till right now, not recently. He asked this Colonel Pikelik to determine how many desks and office chairs and filing cabinets were authorized to support our troops in Vietnam. And the colonel tried to convince him that, look, when they want something, they'll order it, and then he gets it for them, but we don't just automatically order file cabinets for somebody who'll never have a need for it. And what he did is General Westmoreland, in 1967, a year before he left Vietnam, he ordered shiploads of desks and typewriters and office chairs, revolving chairs, for everybody there, including each and every one of my special forces men who had no need for any of that. But we tied down the logistical system, cost us millions of dollars just to satisfy his own personal desire to have the best office-equipped troops in the world.
But you were frontline men. You were fighting soldiers. You weren't office soldiers.
That's right.
I mean, it wouldn't do you much good to have a swivel-back chair, you know, when you're facing a whole flong of Viet Cong come over
to
kill you.
Oh, and they had air conditioning in all the quarters in Saigon. And the PX there, I only had a chance to go into Saigon one time. And I went into the PX, and most of the things in that PX, Dr. Stan, and I think you'll understand what I'm saying, was for the men to go and buy things for the girls that they were going out with in Vietnam. Not the wives, I mean the girls that they were having illicit affairs with over there.
Sure, well, that certainly doesn't speak very well for the morality that they were trying to indoctrinate our troops with.
That's right.
So looking back on this, is it pretty obvious this was simply a no-win war?
Excuse me?
Looking back on Vietnam, now, of course, as you look at it in respect, in retrospect, is it obvious that this was a war we never intended to win?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And especially just reading what General Westmoreland had written in his book, Soldier Reports, how he could live with himself, I don't know. I would not have been surprised to have seen him commit suicide, because he played tennis every day there in Saigon, from what we were told, while he was refusing to supply us in 4th Corps with whatever we needed to fight the war, and while he was allowing the Viet Cong to have safe havens across the border.
Well, in your book, of course, The Expendable Elite, you tell the story about how they actually sent a regiment of South Vietnam regulars, South Vietnamese troops, actually to kill you and your men. Did that have to, ability to actually kill American soldiers, did that have to go through regular channels, or was that arranged by the CIA independent of the regular chain of command?
That was arranged by the Central Intelligence Agency, I'm sure with the knowledge of President Johnson. It was one of those compartmentalized operations. When CIA agent Walter McKim came to my camp, he asked me to set up an operation to kill Prince Sihanouk inside of Cambodia when he made his annual trip to one of the big temples. And I agreed to do it at first, because all those things are voluntary. But I said I was giving him a quid pro quo, that our president, President Johnson, would have to give the American people notice that he was immediately canceling all Viet Cong sanctuaries and safe havens and not allowing them to use the river anymore as their major supply route. Well, President Johnson would not do that, so I canceled the operation to kill Sihanouk, and that's when the CIA got very upset with old Dangerous Dan, and they sent a 1,200-man heavily armed regiment of South Vietnamese to wipe out our camp. In fact, when General Dang, who came to our rescue, flew over that regiment with Colonel William Desabre, who was his senior American advisor, Colonel Desabre called down to the Americans that were with that regiment and asked them, why are you attacking An Phu, which was my camp? And they said, because there's a renegade captain named Marvin who's leading the Wahaos against the central government. That's the lie they told.
And, of course, this is what they often do with our troops. They simply lie to them to get them to do things, tell them that somebody's an enemy. That's why they have to be killed. And I'm sure that's why they justified the killing of President Kennedy out of many of the people who were involved in that conspiracy.
Oh, amen.
And in fact, you were one of them. Didn't they actually tell you that is why they killed Kennedy?
Absolutely. The CIA instructors in top secret training, when I first went into Green Berets, told us how they had actually used four mafia hitmen. One of them I personally know, and two of them were from the American mafia. One of them was on the grassy knoll, that's a man I know, and the other one, and this is hard to believe, but and I've never seen the press cover this, the second one was on the rooftop of the building next to the public book depository.
And then what did they do, bring in a couple of hitmen from elsewhere?
They brought in two other hitmen from the Corsican Mafia with spotters, with high-powered binoculars, and they were located along the route. There was two different ways that his sedan could take him to the hospital, and they were located along that, and the man with the binoculars would determine his own judgment whether or not the president would make it to the hospital, and if he thought that he would, then they would have shot him again, basically. So that's the kind of an operation we had all set up. Well, it's just like when the CIA agent on the 5th day of August of 1965 came to Fort Bragg, and my commanding officer asked me to meet him amongst the pines, and he asked me if I would be willing to kill someone who was about to give secrets to the enemy. Well, you know, I was a trained assassin, and a man about to give secrets to the enemy, you know, if you can't try him in court, then that's the way that we did those kind of things. Then I asked him who it was, and he said, Lieutenant Commander William Bruce Pitcher. He's a Navy officer, and he was in Bethesda, Maryland, at the hospital there. And I told him that I couldn't do that, that we were trained to do that kind of thing, assassinations and terror, overseas, and that the mafia was supposed to be used inside this country. So I did not accept that mission, but I found out later that Lieutenant Commander William Bruce Pitcher was the man who took all of the remote control photographs and film of the Kennedy autopsy, and he was going to release that to the world when he retired. That's why they wanted him killed as soon as they found out where he was hiding those films, so that the world would not know the truth about Kennedy's assassination.
And that's, of course, the last thing they could allow the American people to know, that the CIA had killed Kennedy. Any more than they could let the people know what really happened on September 11th. Any more than they could let the American people know what really happened with Flight 800, TWA Flight 800. Any more than they could let the American people know what really happened at Waco, what really happened as in the Oklahoma City with the bombing of the
Mayan
building.
Amen.
And
amen.
You have to, any more than they could, does it? They let the American people know how they killed Martin Luther King. And you actually, spent a lot of time studying the murder of Martin Luther King.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I provided William Pepper, the attorney for the King family, evidence about an inch-thick investigation that I had brought about where special forces were collecting weapons back from the enemy that the enemy had taken from the American forces prior to that. So when they actually got these off the enemy, and these American weapons, they were off the record. And they would ship them from Vietnam to Thailand. And I stopped it the day I reported to the 46th Special Forces in Thailand. And they had shipped approximately 120 weapons, including sniper rifles and all that kind of thing, into Detroit, Michigan, to be part of the plan that was being set up to infiltrate black power units using the weapons as a way to get in there, and also at the same time, they being the people running this whole organization, which was the Assistant Chief of Staff for Intelligence along with the CIA, they activated two U.S. Army Reserve Special Forces units, and they were used to monitor every move that Mr. King made. And at the end, if the shooter missed, they had orders to kill Dr. King. Now, this is our own special forces.
But apparently the shooter, the first shooter, was got through this all right. There's a book actually we carry called An Active State, written by Mr. Pepper, who actually was employed by Martin Luther King's family to bring this case against one of the men involved in the assassination.
Right.
The man readily confessed he'd been part of that. There was a 4-week trial.
Right.
Not a word in the controlled media. You couldn't let the American people know that they'd kill this man. After all, he was a hero. We have a national holiday for Martin Luther King, who was actually killed by the CIA. And if you want to hear the 4-tape set, and a 4-CD said it actually interviews with people who attended the trial and know what happened to Martin Luther King. We have
James Douglas?
Right.
Oh, good.
And, of course, we also have the book, The An Active State. It's available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. You must understand they killed Martin Luther King. And they got away with it, but then they can kill anybody and get away with it. An awful lot of people who knew what happened on September 11th have died under very mysterious circumstances. But this is never covered in the controlled media.
That's right.
Well,
you know what happened, don't you, that first day of the trial of Martin Luther King?
Well, this is the trial of the assassin of Martin Luther King, right?
Right, I'm sorry, right. The trial to get to the truth of what happened to Dr. King. In the first day, there was representatives of CNN, CBS, ABC, all of them, and one by one, they were called out of that courtroom the very first day and never came back. Jim Douglas was the only one that stayed there the entire trial and could report on it honestly. And he's working another book on that right now.
All right, fine. Well, it's so vitally important the American people realize that nothing is as it appears to be. Now, you've been trying to do something about General Westmoreland, trying to bring this forward, that here was a commanding officer who betrayed his men and his country by not having the courage to stand up and simply resign his commission.
That's right. Before he died, I did my best to try and get a general court-martial in session that would try him for aiding the enemy. And I really had some good evidence, primarily being his own book that he authored himself, where he admits that he allowed that to happen over there. That he was ordered not to tell Congress and not to tell the press, so he didn't tell them. He should have resigned his commission. So anyway, I tried to get this court-martial going, and I can be honest with you, there wasn't one general officer who would support me in developing that general court-martial. So I finally ended up talking directly with the Assistant Chief of Staff for, the Staff Judge Advocate of the United States Army, and just started gearing things up for a real trial when General Westmoreland died. But I think that same information that I was going to present there at the trial should come out to the public.
And people have to understand, the Gulf of Tonkin was a lie. So 58,000 Americans died. Who was responsible? Well, there are a lot of responsibility, but a lot of it went to the general officers who went over there and were more concerned about their careers than they were about the lives of the men that were going to die following their orders.
Oh, amen. I remember calling General Tommy Franks, one of the biggest disappointments in my life. On 24th of July of 2003, I called General Tommy Franks at his headquarters down in Florida, where he was running the war against Iraq. And I told him that we're having a Support the Troops event here in Cazenovia. And then I asked him what were the two main concerns of his that made it very difficult going into Iraq. He had to go to a meeting, so he turned me over to his aide, Lieutenant Colonel Chris Godecki, and he told me very clearly that General Franks only received half of the number of military forces that he asked for to properly conduct the war and to be able to, you know, take a village or a city and then leave troops there to secure it, get government back into operation. And then he said he wishes to remain anonymous.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Well, Colonel Marvin, you go right ahead.
Okay. Then, and he also, this is Colonel Godecki, said that the staff who developed the invasion scenario for Secretary of Defense.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Story of Colonel Marvin's experiences in Vietnam and afterwards, and certainly how they actually tried to have him and all of his men killed because they refused to go ahead and to carry out the execution of Prince Sihanouk, and of course eventually why they brought a suit against Colonel Marvin to keep this book. They told him they wouldn't sue him if he just would withdraw the book. The last thing they want is for the American people to know that people in high positions would actually kill American soldiers for refusing to carry out an assassination. Well, certainly there's much more to the story. We carry the book. Certainly the expendable elite We carry the book An Active State. It goes into the trial of the people involved in the assassination of Martin Luther King, totally concealed from the American people. The book is by William Pepper. We carry the four tape set where you actually hear the interviews. That's a four CD set or four tape set of the interviews with the people who attended the trial, who know what happened to Martin Luther King. But right now you're supposed to believe that James Earl Ray, the lone shooter, who have, for some reason or other, took it upon himself to kill one of the most prominent men in America. Just like the story of Lee Harvey Oswald, the lone shooter, or, you know, was it the Timothy McVeigh, the lone assassin. Ladies and gentlemen, Timothy McVeigh told his sister, Jennifer, that he was working for for a special forces unit. He told that to Terry Nichols. He told that to his cellmate there in Colorado. They're waiting while he was waiting to be executed. And his cellmate, David Hammer, wrote a book called Secrets Worth Dying For, or A Secret Worth Dying For. You can get it up on the Internet. And, of course, what's the story? Timothy McVeigh was working for a special forces unit, carrying out orders. And, of course, anybody who's ever studied what happened in Oklahoma City at the Murrah Building will know that there were two explosions, the one of the truck bomb and then the internal explosion that took out the piers. And, well, we can't let the American people know that. That they killed all those people there? Why, if they kill those people, maybe they're not going to be responsible about or concerned about all the people who died on September 11th, the people who died in TWA 800, the people who died at Waco, all of whom, most of whom had a bullet in the back of their head, a bullet in the back of their head. And if you've never seen the DVDs on what happened at Waco, and especially the second one, Waco and New Revelation, we have it. They're hard to get, but we have it. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Do you really think they're concerned about American lives? It's the almost 75 million people. I either died or were injured during World War I. Well over 100 million people died or were injured in World War II. And World War III is imminent. Are you concerned? Do you want to check out and find if what we're saying is true? You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Hear my talk on the secret or the forbidden secret. Hear our talk on the financial Armageddon. Hear our talk on the specter haunting America. Why are there so many people with dementia and Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease? Why is every one in every six American children have a neurodevelopmental abnormality or learning disability? Why is one in every nine children have asthma? One in every 10 children have severe allergies? Why are so many people with autoimmune diseases in America? The DVD, the specter haunting America. You need to get the information, and we do have it here, and we do hope that you'll get this and help us get the truth out while we can. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And so, of course, we ask you to encourage others to listen to our program. Check our facts. Think about what we're saying. How could the greatest nation in the world, America, fight a 10-year war against a little country the size of North Vietnam and lose the war? How could that happen? It didn't happen, ladies and gentlemen. It was all make-believe. And 58,000 American boys died.